Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Truma. Wonderful to be gathered here in the almost sold-out crowd in our Heichal. So whether you're in the Heichal listening live as we're giving the shiur, or from the many who will Bezras Hashem listen to Siyata D'Shmaya from around the world, Bruchim Abayim to Parsha Insights. Please say over the Torah to make your Shabbos Kodesh even more Dehayman and more Gishmak. The shiur is said, L'zecher Nishmas U'le'ile Nishmas. Your dear parents, Rebecca Basterina and Leon Ben Rachel, their Neshama Tahira Zohobin, a Lichte Gigan Eden. It's also being sponsored. Thank you so much to Eddie and Zelda Zemel for sponsoring tonight. Firstly, the Ilay Nishmas Reb Nussi Zemel, Nossin Meir Ben Reb Yosef Yeshua, whose 10th yard site just was on the 29th of Shvat. Bezras Hashem, this year should be L'zeicher Nishmas U'le'ile Nishmas Reb Nosson Meir Ben Reb Yosef Yeshua. Thank you to you and to Eddie, always for sponsoring and for sponsoring this year as well. And it's also being sponsored by the Zemel Mishpacha to commemorate the yard site of Zelda's mother, 21st yard site, Chana Leah Bas Reb Chaim Yechiel, whose yard site will be Be'ezras Hashem Beis Adar. May her neshama tahira have a lichtige gan eden, and that gives me an opportunity to wish everyone a guten chaydesh, a gebenchte gesunte chaydesh, mishenichas adar marvin besimcha. We're holding now tonight on the second night of Rosh Chodesh, meaning the first of Adar. We should be zoicha, all those who need refuas and yeshuas, their tefillahs be answered. All those who are looking for the zivugim, for shidduchim, to bezus Hashem, be zeicha to build the mishpacha, the beautiful shalom bayis, the parnasa berevach. May everyone's tefillahs be answered. Let's be zeicha to the gula shalema bimheira. I hope tonight, since Parshas Truma talks on so much of the kalim of the mishkan, so many of the clay mishkan of the vessels, we will try to cover at least three of them. Perhaps even weave them together with a tzarashava commonality. But at the very least, let me tell you, as we're starting, let's learn a beautiful pshat about the Aron, the Ark, meaning where the Luchos were. Let us learn about the Menorah. And finally, let us learn about the Shulchan. And then we'll see, Bezras Hashem, if between the Aron and the Menorah and the Shulchan, we could weave together one thing. Let's begin with the Aaron. If you take a look at the beginning of the Parsha, Chof Hei Yud Beis, very beginning of the Parsha, again, Chof Hei Yud Beis. The Pasuk tells us that you were to take the four golden rings. If you're looking at Yud Beis, again, the beginning of the Parsha, take the four rings of gold, and where should you place them? In Asata al Arba Pa'amaisav. Pa'amaisav is an interesting word. Pa'amaisav, what does that word mean? Here it's translated as, place the four rings of gold on the four corners. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi indeed translates it that way, the word pa'amaisav to mean from the word zavis, a corner. Not everybody translates pa'amaisav to mean like Rashi does, corners. If you take a look at the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra tells us, you don't find that interpretation in Tanakh, and therefore he says that the word pa'amaisav means feet. Now that, by the way, for all of our Detroiters here tonight, although this is not exclusive to you, and rarely do I give a shout out, but there was one. The fact that pa'amaisav should denote feet isn't really so strange to us. Let's say, by example, when we refer to the three festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, we say Shalosh Regalim. Other times we say the word Shalosh Pa'amim. Now, although the word Regalim does mean festival, as does the word Pa'amim three times, referring to the three festivals, but Shalosh Regalim, what is a regel? A foot. So it's at least something we could understand that the Eben Ezra translates the word pa'amaisav to mean put it on the feet. Now the reason is for the holy Aron was never to rest directly on the ground. that would have been disrespectful, that would have been irreverent. So therefore, it rested on feet, and it rested on the pa'amos of those feet. Again, I mentioned to you, like it says, sholosh pa'amim, sholosh regalim. I'm merely bringing that as a raya. I don't mean to stop, but are you not seeing the pasuk Rashi? What is it that's not being seen?
Box.
So Pshat, we're going to have to take when the Heilige recording ends. So Pa'amaisav, I'm merely showing you like Regalim, Pa'amim, Pa'amaisav, he translates to mean feet, because you shouldn't rest the Aron on the ground, let it be on feet. Now the question then becomes, if indeed it means feet, like the Eben Ezra says, then why doesn't it just say the word feet? V'nasach al arba raglav. Why doesn't it say to go ahead and rest it on raglav? In other words, what we're asking is, if it means feet, why use the word pa'amosav instead of raglav? The Sefer Das Chaim brings down a beautiful pshat. Open up your hearts to what the Das Chaim tells us. Although both words denote feet, raglav, pa'amosav, the advantage of using the word pa'amosav is that it's a term that doesn't just mean feet. It means forward progress. It means always moving forward. In fact, if you'd like to see a beautiful proof to that, if you take a look in Tehillim, Kapitel Pehei, the last pasuk, David HaMelech says, last pasuk of Pehei, he says, V'yosem l'derech pe'omav. V'yosem l'derech pe'omav. And there he's talking about placing your steps towards the road, indicating walking and moving forward. So therefore, the Das Chaim says so beautifully, you know why we use the word pamaisa instead of raglav? Because we don't want to just denote feet, which is true. As I told you already twice, it would have been irreverent if it would have rested on the ground. But it doesn't use the word raglav. Rather, it uses the word pamaisa to teach you that when it comes to the holy Aron, which is, of course, representing the Torah and that which is contained within, raglav is not enough. It always has to be pa'amaisav. What does pa'amaisav mean? Forward moving, spiritual growth, always progressing. You could be a tremendous Talmud Chacham. There's still the need to progress. You could be somebody who's mastered the Torah. You still have to keep moving forward with it. You could be somebody who studies and restudies time and time again. It cannot be that the Aron is represented by you as merely raglav. It has to be pa'amosav, which we just brought a couple of proofs, always means feet, but it denotes progress, spiritual growth, moving forward. By the way, now you could appreciate why I opened up speaking about the Sholosh Regalim and Sholosh Pa'amim, because of the famous Sasemis that we say pretty much three times a year. What is the reason sometimes, if it's called Sholosh Regalim, which means festivals, but regals from foot, why the need to change it to Sholosh Pa'amim? What was wrong with Sholosh Regalim? Heilige Sasemis of Chus Yogan Leino famously says that the word Pa'amim is etymologically from the word pa'amon, and a pa'amon is a bell. What's the character trait of a bell? If you watch as I indicate with my hand, that I shake it like this, but even after I stop shaking it, the noise continues to reverberate. And that's the way our three pa'amim regalim must be, that the beauty of Pesach has to carry us to Shavuos. The hisayrus of Shavuos has to carry us to Sukkot, and Sukkot has to carry us to Pesach. And that's why I'm choosing to use the word, not just Sholosh Regalim, because a regal would indicate feet, but we said feet could mean potentially I'm stationary. Sholosh Pa'amim, what do we just say from the Das Chaim that the word Pa'amayisim indicates? Spiritual growth, progress, moving forward. A boy say, is that not what a Pa'amon does, a bell? Is that not the same shot as the Sfasemis? What does a bell do? That even after I stop physically shaking it, the noise continues. Pesach to Shavuos, Shavuos to Sukkot, Sukkot to Pesach. That's merely another raya that the word pa'amosav, as opposed to the word raglav, denotes moving forward. Says the Das Chaim so beautifully, it's to teach us that when it comes to the Oren, which obviously represents the Torah, you have to be a Heilach, not an Oymed. In fact, the angels are called Oymdim. They're called Oymdim because they don't have the ability to progress spiritually. We've mentioned this a couple of times. They always remain stationary. He actually brings down in quotes, that's why it could very well be that the angels keep their feet covered with their kenafayim, their wings, because they are ashamed that they have the raglov. They don't have the pa'amaisov. And that concludes the opening pshat about the Aroin, where according to the Ben Ezra, it's from the word pa'amaisov, not merely raglov, to teach us, you attend shiurim, there's always, whatever we do, there always has to be the she'ifa for spiritual growth, to progress, to do even more. As I brought common examples, you could have mastered whatever it might be. You could have learned something an extraordinary number of times, but the idea of pa'amaisov over raglov teaches you, continue, 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 continue. If you are so privileged to be from the Holchem and not like the angels behind them, then utilize that gift that you've been given. And this, Rabbi Yisai, brings us to the next vessel found in the Mishkan, the Menorah. I would like to tell you that the pshat I'm about to share with you comes very much from the famous Pinchas Friedman, so that means it's going to be an extraordinary pshat. He actually bases it on something that the Vilna Gaon brings down in Aderes Eliyahu. I do want to mention, it's not often that in our Parsha Insights we'll mention something based on Kabbalah or something that might be deeper esoteric. I'm mentioning to you in advance, this pshat is. It's a fabulous pshat. It just works so, so beautifully. The psukim, the taich, but I am mentioning, just so you could be in the proper frame of mind, that it will be a little bit deeper, a little bit more esoteric. As I told you, it's based on something Rav Pinchas Friedman says, but he starts by quoting the Vilna Gaon. Actually, let's take a look for a moment. If you look at the Menorah, take a look at where the Menorah is discussed. Regarding the Menorah, the Pasuk tells us that, actually, and Rashi explains to us, Moshe had difficulty in making the Menorah. So what does Rashi tell us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a Menorah of fire. Number one, let's ask, why was this particular object, the Menorah, especially difficult for Moshe? Is that a Gevaldik Kasha? Why was the Menorah difficult for Moshe? Good Kasha. Question number two. When the Pasuk says that Hashem showed him, the Pasuk says, this is the last Pasuk of Perakov Hay, that I am going to see it, make it according to the form, Asherah taught Moret Bahar, that you're shown on the mountain. Rabbi Yisai, you don't want to forget those words. Asher atah moreh bahar, that you're shown at the mountain. What's with the emphasis at the mountain? Two questions, both have to be answered. We'll repeat them again very quickly. Why was this particular object of Menorah difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu? And what does it mean you were shown it at the har? Remember that word, har, mountain, to make this pshat. Moyeridik, Moyeridik Zis. The Vilna Gaon says in Aderes Eliyahu, maybe the difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had regarding seeing and envisioning and forming the Menorah was from a point of view of Kabbalah. And this is what the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu says. Menorah represents Torah. Now that would right away be a connection to what we opened up the shiur with, because we opened up the shiur with the Aron. The Aron contained the Torah, and now we're talking about the Menorah, and the Menorah represents Torah. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah Ar. The light of the Menorah represents the light of Torah. We see that in Chazal often. Let's break down the Menorah as we see in the Parsha. Speaking about the Menorah, there were 7 konim. There were 11 buttons. There were 9 flowers, and there were 22 cups. If you add those 4 numbers, the 7 kunim, the 11 buttons, the 9 flowers, and the 22 cups, you reach a total of 49. all of those merge to create one menorah, bringing your total to 50. He says that represents the 50 Shari Bina. We know there are 50 gates of Bina of understanding, and the menorah, based on the numbers I just told you over the 7 and the 11 and the 9 and the 22 plus the menorah itself, making a total of 50, the menorah, which represents the Or HaTorah, the light of understanding and wisdom, it represents all 50 gates of understanding, of which Moshe Rabbeinu attained 49. Not having been permitted to conceive that final, the Nun, the 50th level of understanding, he had difficulty in the 50 gate menorah. So that's what he wants to say. Al Pi Kabbalah, when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty, what did it mean he had difficulty? Because the menorah, we just said, which represents the Torah, which represents the light, based on the numbers I already told you twice, plus the menorah itself adds up to 50, representing the 50 Shari Bina. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to conceive the first 49, not the 50th one. And that's what it means that the menorah was difficult for him, i.e., that 50th level. Rabbi Yisrael, we're just beginning. The Heilig Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal says, and I think this is what some of you wanted to say, that before the Chet HaEgel, Moshe had reached absolute perfection, and he did conceive even the Nun Shari Bina, the 50th level of understanding. That was before the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, that 50th one was hidden from him, and since the 50th one was hidden from him, now once again, the menorah becomes difficult, because the menorah represents the 50, which he had, but now no longer has. And of course, that's the famous part, because if you take a look, as we're going to read in a couple weeks, the Chet HaEgel, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say after the Chet HaEgel? Come on, Rabbi Yisrael, you know this chat. What does Rabbi Hashem say? You might be in the Heichel, you might be listening live, you might be listening when it goes out. What does Rabbi Hashem say after the Chet HaEgel? The Rabbi Hashem says, Lech Reid, go down. Reid means to go down. Lech is spelled Lamed Chaf. What is the gematria of Lamed Chaf? 50. Lech Reid, you have now gone down. After the Chet HaEgel from the 50th level of understanding, that one was subtracted, and therefore you are at the level of 49, and that would indeed make the difficulty of the menorah. But Rabbi Yisrael, take a look in Devarim Lamed Dalet Aleph. It's a pasuk that you should look up. You can look it up later. Lamed Dalet Aleph. I'm in Devarim. V'zayis HaBracha. This is what you read on Chasson Tzayir. Take a look. Lamed Dalet Aleph, the pasuk says, Vayal Moshe Me'arvas Moir El Har Nevoi. The Arizal brings down so beautifully. Moshe went up from the plains of Moav. And where did he go? He went to the Har. There's that word, Har Nevoi. The Shaloh HaKadosh, as if it couldn't get better, Rabbi Sai. The Shaloh HaKadosh says, here's the hint. It says that Moshe went Me'arvos Moav. How do you spell the word Moav? Mem. Vav. Aleph Vez. It has the exact gematria of 49. He went from Moav, which was 49, to the mountain of Nevoi. Nevoi is spelled Nun Beis Vav, which says the Shlokas when broken down is Nun Boi. Nun Beis Vav, just break it down. Nun, which means 50, Boi, all 50 are within him. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu rose from the level of 49 to the level of 50. When he was by Moav, Moav is the gematria of 49. But he went to Har Nevoi. Har Nevoi is really a break of the word Har Nevoi. Nun Boi. Nun Boi. Nun Boi means that the 50th one is entered in, and by the grace of Hashem, he's now on the 50th level. Now you could appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu. That means that when he was by Har Sinai, when he was by the mountain before the Chet HaEgel, he had reached that 50th gate, that 50th level. And maybe that's what the pasuk means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha that I'm going to go ahead and show you the menorah. Read me, what was the second question we had? Why does Hashem show it to him specifically at the, let's do it together, at the mountain, Asher Atamor Bahor, because at the Hor, you were at the 50th level, Har Nivo Nun Boy. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says Rav Pinchas Friedman, I want to show you the shape that you were shown at the Har. Strive to get back to that level of 50. Strive to get back to the level of the 50th gate of understanding, and then you will have no trouble fashioning the menorah. That's a shot. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the 50th level. After the Chet HaEgel, it was taken away. Strive to get it back. Is that not similar to what we said by the Aron? That no matter what level one's at, what did Pam Yosef teach us over the word Raglav? Forward. Strive. Progress. Higher level. You had 48, make it to 49. You had 49? Make it to 50, the 50th level. Moshe was at that level. Unfortunately, as we said, after the Chet HaEgel, Lech Reid, Lech Lamed Chaf is 50. You went down from the 50th level, like the word Maya, which we said has the exact gematria of 49. But there was a point in time, by Har Sinai, Har Nevoi, which we said means Nun Boy. You had that level. That's why when it was difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told him, go back to the level Asher Atamara Bahar. If you can go back and accomplish that 50th level, the menorah will no longer be difficult. We're not able to achieve those levels, but the ideal of the menorah we can, to keep, as we said, from the word pa'amoysav and not merely raglov, another level, another level, another level, to be able to go higher, greater. Take a look now, if you will, at the Shulchan. We're just a few psukim further. Chaf Hei Chaf Gimel. Chaf Hei Chaf Gimel. We're talking now about the Shulchan, the table. What was the Shulchan made from? First four words of Chaf Gimel. V'asisa Shulchan Atze Shittim. It was made from Shittim wood. Why Shittim wood? A few years ago, we actually spoke at a different pshat that my father's Atzal brings down and say for Emre Mordechai. Most of what we're about to say now to begin concluding the shir is from the Rabbeinu Bachyai. A Meiridik, Rabbeinu Bachyai. I hope you really enjoy it. The Rabbeinu Bachyai, actually quoting an unknown medrash, says, why was the Shulchan, I use that word again, don't forget that word Shulchan, made from Shittim wood? The Rabbeinu Bachyai says that Shittim, which is spelled Shin Tes Yud Mem, stands for Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, and Mechila. The Shin of Shittim stands for Shalom, peace. The Tes of Shittim stands for Toiva, goodness. The Yud of Shittim stands for Yeshua, salvation, and the Mem for Mechila, forgiveness. And he goes on to explain, and I hope this impacts all of us, I try. When we had the Shulchan in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, that was something that helped us to bring about a kapara, place that we served. But since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Shulchan. Oh, we do have a Shulchan. You had dinner tonight? Bezos Hashem breakfast tomorrow? Friday night, Susan, a couple nights. You ate at your kitchen shulchan, your dining room table, so you do have a shulchan. The Rabbeinu Bachyai goes on to say that our shulchan, our dining room table where we eat, that serves, since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the exact same purpose as our Mizbeach, our altar, meaning to say our Shulchan that they had then. In fact, what did they bring on the Shulchan? Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim, the famous showbread. Lechem Aponim, today, when you have over a poor person, a destitute, someone who mamish needs a meal, someone who is broken, you have that person over, that's your Lechem Haponim on your Shulchan. Think about that. That's your Lechem Haponim that you're accomplishing today on your Shulchan. We have many Gemaras, many Midrashim that show us the power of our Shulchan. Wasn't it this past Friday night that I quoted this Rabbeinu Bachyai? The elders of France had a famous minhag that a person who was buried, his shulchan, his table, was fashioned into his urn, into his coffin. Why? It's Rabbeinu Bachyai. I quoted it Friday night, famous. Anshei Tzarfas. Why? So that the table, the wood, the shulchan will testify on their behalf to all of the tzedakah that this table did during the lifetime. How many poor and destitute people ate at the wood of this table? How many parlor meetings were around this table? How many gedolim were around this table? How many people did you help? You were a listening ear and gave advice to hundreds of people around this table? This table, this wood, the Anshei Tzarfas felt that will gain you eternal life. It will be meritorious to give you a long life in Olam Haba because that you could take with you. I believe it was Friday night when we gave a few other examples, which we'll mention now very quickly before we get to a beautiful part of the shir. Take a look when we read in the parashim, Kesef Talva Es Ami Es Ha'Ani Imach. You should lend money where you can to the Ani. You know how many of the Sforim explain the words? In Kesef Talva Es Ami, you lend money. You think you could take the money with you? Well, there is one way you could. Es Ha'Ani Imach. What you give to the Ani, what you give to the poor, the destitute, the one who needs it, imach, that you take with you. That accompanies you eternally to the Olam HaEmes. What a beautiful, powerful way to read the words. Es ha'oni, not the other money that you have stashed away, bank account or whatever it is, police. Es ha'oni, what you give for tzedakah, charity to help, imach, that goes with you. Similar to what it said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, everybody was taking the gold and silver as they were told to do. Moshe Rabbeinu was keeping the word of taking out the Atzmas Yosef. And you know what it says in Parsha Shemos? Vayikach Moshe es Atzmas Yosef imoy. It doesn't mean he just took it with him out of Mitzrayim. It means imoy, he took it with him to the Olam HaEmes. He took it with him eternally. He took it with him to the next world. Vayikach Moshe es Atzmas Yosef imoy. These things, the charity, the schosim, the good deeds, these things like the elders of France being buried in the wood of their table, Esa'oni imach, Atzmas Yosef imoy, these things you could take with you. So what do we have today, Rabbi Yisai? We have our shulchan. How's your shulchan doing? How's your shulchan doing? How's your shulchan doing? I must give credit. I saw a beautiful Mr. Rabbeinu Bacher of Yitzchak Meir Goodman brings down, and with this we'll conclude the shir, something so beautiful. You know, you can get a lot out of that table of yours. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos famously tells us, "Hashleish Dvar Ma'olam Aymed." The world stands on three pillars: Tyra, Avayne, Gemilas, Chasadim. Generally, we associate Tyra with this, Avayne with this, Gemilas, Chasadim with this. Rav Yitzchak Meir Goodman says so beautifully. He feels that the Shulchan represents all three. The Shulchan that you have represents the three pillars on which the world stands, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And he explains so beautifully why. Well, the table definitely represents your Torah learning because the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, in the beginning, that you should not sit at a Shulchan, meaning during mealtime, where you're not gathered to speak Torah. That would be like Zivchei Mason. You should better make sure that when you're gathered to eat a meal, that your shulchan has Divrei Torah. So you could imagine that if the shulchan during mealtime has Divrei Torah, that would certainly demonstrate that you're somebody who's really involved in Torah learning, because even during mealtime, your shulchan was saturated with your words of Torah. I think we just did one of the three pillars. Is that correct? Number two, avoida. Avoida means your service of Hashem. Well, that's certainly done at your shulchan, because how'd you make brachas? You made brachas well. You thought baruch atah. How'd you make brachas? Ate properly? Birchas hamazon. How was our birchas hamazon? Our shulchan is the pillar of avoida, our service to Hashem. Did we have kavanah when we made brachas? Did we have kavanah when we said birchas hamazon? I hope these words are taken by me and all those who are listening to help us with our pillar of avoida at our shulchan. And the last one might be the easiest. What's the third pillar on which the world stands? Torah avoida and gemilas chasadim. Obviously, a table will testify how many poor, how many destitute, how many of the wonderful, wonderful people did you share your meal with when you were the host? Were you generous? Were you a Baal Chesed or not? Rabbi say, is that not a beautiful pshat? The shulchan is all three pillars. Torah, avoda, gemilas chasadim. It shows how into Torah you are, because if you're into by mealtime, surely other times as well. Avoda tells me a lot about your concentration vis-a-vis brachos, brachos hamazon, etc. And it certainly tells me about your chesed. You know, we're going to start looking at our shulchan differently. Our shulchan is the connection to our ticket to eternity. Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. And then he ends so beautifully, that's the word shulchan. Shulchan is really a makeup of two words. Shulchan is spelled shin lamed ches nun. He breaks up the three letters from the fourth letter, shalach nun. And I don't mean the nun as in the 50 levels of. Shalach is from the word to send. Because the root of the word shulchan is shalach, to send, is being used in the form like when you send something forth. What are you sending forth? Your shulchan, which is rooted in the word shalach, is from where you send forth your Torah, your avoida, your gemias chasadim, imay. Where are you sending it forth to? Where are you sending it forth to? You're sending it to the Olam HaEmes, to eternity, to accompany you, imach. So that's the idea of shalach, you're sending something forward. But what is with the final end of nun? We've said many times that any word that ends with a nun, it means to take that thing, the letters that precede it, and nun represents that you're doing it to the nth degree. An excellent example of what you're speaking, perhaps the two examples we often mention, Rosh Hashanah, we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, excuse me, Yom Kippur, we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Solchon, Machalon. That means that there's the Slicha and the Mechila, but what does the end nun mean? What does the end nun mean? To an excellent degree, to the nth degree, to an incredible level. You know that that's what the nun at the end of the word does. Solchon, Salach, Nun, Machalon, Machal, Nun. The Slicha and the Mechila, Hashem's ability to forgive and pardon, is on an incredible, incredible level. That's represented by the end nun. Another very famous one, where we speak about Kadosh Baruch Hu being someone who's all-merciful and compassionate, we say Hashem is Rachamon, Rachamon. What does Rachamon mean? Rachem with the N nun. That Hashem's Rachamim is with the nun to the nth degree, once again representing an excellent, excellent level. Solchon, Macholon, Rachamon, etc. And that's the way he explains the word Shulchan. It's Shalach Nun. It's an excellent opportunity to make your Torah, Avoda, and Chesed sent before you to accompany you after 120 Gesunta years in the Olam HaEmes, as we were careful to say around that dining room table, which I reckon we're going to start looking at differently now, tells me a lot about your Torah, a lot about your Vayda, and certainly a lot about your Gemilas Chasadim. But when they do accompany you because Shach they're sent forth, you've turned it into a shulchan with the en nun, like solchan, machalon, rachamon. You're sending it forth on a most powerful, powerful, powerful level. May we be zoich, as we've learned about the Oren, the Menorah, the Shulchan, and different ones of the Klei HaMikdash, to be zoich to internalize these priceless lessons and to be zoich to see them in use once again, b'karev, with the Bayashlishi, b'mheira, b'yameinu, amen. Thank you.